Thank you. overwhelming people. We thank God. Thank God to make a wife. Amen. Keeping her in spite of her health challenges and God being good. I thank God for all you. Those of y'all have a big amen. I thank God for all of you. You all who are not you, there will be none of us. Amen. So we thank God for everyone that's here tonight. And we just thank God for being a mighty good God. Amen. And we're going to continue our series on a spiritual self-examination. And it actually, I was supposed to be going over one thing, but while we were praying and preparing, God switched it. But I'm going to stay there, but from a different perspective. That question number one that we're going to ask, and I got to stay the course because it's a school time, so I got to make sure we get out on time for children to go to school. Children, you can take the phone with you. No, question number one is, are you where God wants you to be? Right, and we're doing a spiritual examination. Not where you want to be, not where somebody else wants you to be. But question number one, are you where God wants you to be? Amen. And we're trying to see where we are in God. Question number two is, are you doing what God wants you to do? Right. Number one, are you where God wants you to be? Number two is, are you doing what God wants you to do? And number three is, if you are what God wants you to be, if you're doing what God wants you to do, are you doing it the way God wants you to do it? So somebody say, I'm a preacher, but are you preaching like God wants you to preach?
Come on.
I'm a singer. Are you singing like God wants you to sing? Whatever your functionality is in the church, are you doing it the way God wants you to do it, or are you doing it the way that you want to do it? So we try to examine ourselves spiritually. It's so important that we are where God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do, and most importantly, doing it the way God wants us to do it. That's important tonight. So we're going to ask you to stand as we go to our scripture reading. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 16. As I said, I actually had prepared Romans chapter 12. But as I was sitting there praying and sitting in the back, the Lord just changed that up for a minute. So we won't get there tonight because of time. But it's so important tonight that we're in the place that God wants us to be. Amen. The scripture says, I can give my body to be burned. I can restore all my goods to feed the poor. But if I don't have charity, or if I'm not doing it for the right reason, the scripture says it profits me nothing. So tonight, we could be doing a whole lot. But the question is, are we doing it the way God wants to do it? Amen? All right, so Proverbs chapter 16, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. You all have it? For those that do not have it, it's where? Oh, it's coming up. You know, as she's preparing, I was like, oh, there goes my girl. All right. As she's going, like, you know, the praise season, sing the song, we win, in the name of Jesus.
We win.
I think that was just for the concert, because they don't want me to run in the back and do all the other stuff. But we do win. I want to do we win when there's not a concert. But it said, we win in the name of Jesus.
We win.
We win. And it's so important tonight. If you stay in Jesus, I don't care what weapons come against you. Now, we use this scripture, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Oh, she already got it. All right, let me get back to this so that we don't cut into time. But we do use this scripture. It says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, right? It's Isaiah 54:14. My question is that the end of that verse?
No.
Why do you like to butcher the scriptures? It said, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment, he will condemn, because we are inheritors of the Lord. We belong to God, so you know that means God fights for us. We don't have to fight our battle. Psalm said, be still and let the Lord fight your battles. If I just hold mine, I'm going to ask you a question. That I'm going to be nosy. Not real nosy, but a little nosy. Do we really depend on that carnal weaponry. When the weapons of our warfare are not supposed to be carnal but mighty, let the Lord fight your battles. Proverbs 16 and verse 1. And the young word of God all week, and middle of the week, everybody said, can you just hurry up so I can sit down? I just beat you my eyes. Proverbs 16, 1 reads, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Read that again. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things made for who?
Himself.
Even us. God made us for himself. Yea, even the wicked for the damn evil. And then the last verse we'll read together is 5. Everyone that is
proud of heart.
Everyone that is what?
Proud of heart.
Is
an abomination to the Lord.
What? If you're proud of heart, if you accept his office, you are an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not. May the Lord ever bless to the reader of word in the church stand. Of the Lord. Those are some tough scriptures right there. You know, so we're trying to examine ourselves to see where we're at in God. Before we go to this, let us go to, like I said, our kind of special. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, and then we'll come back to this. Amen. Tonight, we are trying to be transparent to ourselves. We're trying to be transparent to who? Ourselves. Because sometimes we can fool ourselves and think that we're one way when altogether we are another way. So in doing a spiritual self-examination, I'm examining myself based on the Word of God. I'm examining myself based on the will of God. The scripture says, be not unwise. But we are to understand what the will of the Lord is for our lives. If you don't know the will of God for your life, the scripture considers you as unwise. Say praise the Lord. If you don't know the will of God for your life, you're not wise. So it says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is for what? For our lives. Verse 28 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 reads, even though we know this pertains to the Lord's Supper, and this is a holy and a sacred moment that Paul is dealing with. Actually, if you go to verse, let's start off with verse 1 and then we'll come down to 28. Verse 1 of this 11th chapter says, be followers of me, even as I also am. So he starts off saying, listen, I want you to follow me, but only as I follow Christ. And tonight, I'm going to ask you the question, are you following Christ or are you following someone else that is not following Christ? Paul said, follow me as long as I follow Christ. In this ministry, ever to the point that we're no longer following Christ, I implore you, get out of here. Don't you stand anything that's not following Christ. If we ever get to the point where we become like a nominal church and just doing our own thing, don't stand in it. Because the most important thing is that we are following Christ. So Paul deals with that and he goes to the Lord's Supper to show you how sacred it is to follow God. Then he drops down to verse 28. Are y'all with me? Verse 28, and he's talking about following who? Christ. Tonight we're dealing with following who? Christ. So he says, verse 28, but let a man examine.
Yourself.
Who are you to examine?
Yourself.
My spiritual examination, yeah, it's easy for me to judge somebody else's situation. But tonight, can we just take a moment? Let's step out of everybody else. Let's examine who? Let's examine our verse 31. Alright? So we're dealing with examining ourselves. It says, verse 31 says, if we would judge, Paul is telling them to follow Christ. He said, but examine yourself, then judge yourself. If we would judge ourselves, then we would have no need to be judged by God. So in doing our spiritual examination, who are you examining? Who are you judging? It should always, the figure should always point back to ourselves. Amen. It's so important. Praise the Lord, Sister Gonzalez. Looks like a little girl. You know, I'm looking like a little girl. Oh, okay. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we have to examine who? Now, if we just take a moment, what do you spend your time examining? You know, every day I ask God, it's so important that I be clean before God. It's not important what any of you all think more than God. It is important what others think about me, but it's more important what God thinks. So, Lord, I don't want to be clean in my own eyes. I don't want to just do what I want to do, but I want to be clean in the eyes of who? Of God. Amen. And then verse 32 says, but what we are, if you don't examine yourself, and if you don't straighten yourself out, it says, but what we are judged, we are chastened. So if you don't correct your situations and get it right, then it says we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. So tonight, who are we judging and who are we examining? It should be who?
Ourselves.
Now let us go back to Proverbs chapter 16. Amen. As a spiritual self-examination to see how I stand in the sight of God. Amen. No one has a heaven or hell to put us in but God. Only God can take everything in our lives, if it be crooked, and he can make it straight. There are times when we might mess up because we are human and we make mistakes. But God, when your heart is right, when your motives are right, when you're pursuing the right thing, God said, I know you did it out of ignorance. So I'm going to take your crooked thing and I'm going to make it straight. The rough places, God said, I'm going to straighten those things up, make them smooth for you because you did it in ignorance. Amen. And that you didn't know any better. And there are so many examples of that, but I'm going to stay the course because I don't want to get off course. So verse 1 of Proverbs 16 reads, the preparation of the heart in
man,
and the answer of the tongue is from
the Lord.
From the Lord. It said, now remember this, all the ways of a
man.
I do everything y'all are sleeping, but it includes you too. Yeah, I know my husband just knows women too, so y'all know. It's just written in the male gender, but it applies to everyone, right? So all ways of men are clean, what? But if I would judge myself honestly, if I would examine myself, can we say honestly?
Honestly.
There are some hidden parts. There are some things that we do. And we know that all together is right in our eyes, but what does God think about it? It's right in our eyes, but what does God think about it? He said, but the law weighs the spirit. That really means God discerns why you do what you do. Praise the Lord. But I know I know y'all are thinking, so go ahead and keep your thinking ahead. What do? Who? You? Something else. All right, don't try to start with me. I'm not getting spit out of that corner around the shop. They look at each other. Why do you do what you do? It's so important, right? To understand that. He said, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked. It said, now, in you examining yourselves, and you try to discern yourself, it says that everyone that is proud art is an
abomination
to God. There are some people that know they can be out of order, but they're so proud, they won't get back in order. There are some people that have an elevated opinion of themselves. I'm not talking about y'all, so they say amen.
Yeah.
Some people have an elevated opinion of themselves, and they philosophize spiritually in a place of entitlement, that they have elevated themselves, and they can be wrong, but will not admit they're wrong. The Bible said that spirit is an
abomination.
Is it an abomination to who? So it's clean in your eyes. God said, not so in my eyes. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. And we're going to go through the principles, and then we're going to go through an actual application for being clean in our own eyes, but being wrong. If you read in the Judges, the Bible said there was a time in Israel's history when they had no king. And every man did that which was right in what? His own eyes. But God was not pleased with that. So they would have one judge after another judge. They would go through one trial in bondage and in slavery and in different situations because they were doing what was right in their eyes. And God was not pleased with that, so God had to straighten it out. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1 reads, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the river of the water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord what? Pondereth the heart. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable than to the Lord than if you just do what is right in the eyes of God, it's more important than any sacrifice you can give. So somebody can say, well, to do justice and judgment, you do what is right and you do it the right way. So, well, I gave my tithes, I gave my offering, I prayed, I did all this. God said, I'm not interested in the sacrifice. I'm discerning your motives for what you do. Yes, I sang. Yes, the church. I sang and I tore the church up. Y'all don't need me. I'm just saying, I say, I took the church up. Yes. You see how God used me? God said, but even though you did that, he said, I'm discerning something is wrong. I'm discerning something wrong because instead of you giving God the glory, you're elevating. You can't do anything without the anointing. So God said, I just want you to keep everything in this right order. Because when you get out of order, you exalt yourself and you're forgetting about God. So tonight, we're trying to bring it back home to keep it right. He says, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than I don't care how much you preach, I don't care how much you do, whatever you do. Right? Preach that. When I say preach, that goes to who first? Me. Right? I don't care how eloquent or speaking you are. If you don't do what's right in the eyes of God, that's not acceptable with God. Amen. He said, and high up. And now we're trying to examine our who? Ourselves. Amen. If I don't care. Now, a lot of people say, I want to be your armor bearer. I said, I don't want an armor bearer. And there's nothing wrong with armor bearers, because a lot of people got armor bearers. Right? I don't want an armor bearer, because I want to do it for myself. When I get older, when I become a true bishop, then I might let somebody be an armor bearer. But until I become a triple bishop, I'll do it for myself. Because I don't want to ever get to the place where I become proud. Some people, when they walk in, they just like that attention. They walk in, and you got all these people walking. That ain't me. I just want to be where I'm at, but for myself. Amen. Because I never want to get to the point where I come too proud. Because if I come too proud, that means I'm magnifying self instead of magnifying God. And I'm not condemning anyone that does it. I'm just saying for me, I'm not in that place yet. When I become a triple bishop, then I'll be there. What is a triple bishop? I don't have the slightest idea. Triple, not triple, T-R-I-P-L-E. I don't want to be a triple bishop. That's a bad spot. I said a triple bishop. I don't know what it is, so good. I'm so glad the name says thing is a triple bishop. All right, he said, but a hot look and a work on the heart. We're trying to examine ourselves to see what are the things that are making us do what we do. Amen? Amen. And the plowing of the wicked is sin. If you're full of pride, that is a sin. And the Bible says, pride becometh before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. So I'm examining myself tonight. Am I proud? Proud is you're wrong, but you won't admit you're wrong. Right? Come on, let's walk. Can we walk this together? You acted ugly, but you won't admit you acted ugly because of who you are and your position that you think you have. God said that proud look and that proud heart is a sin before God. You know what makes it a sin? It makes it a sin because you're telling God, I disregard your word so that I can promote myself. That's a dangerous position to be in. Well, we put God's word aside so we can exalt ourselves just like King Saul. God said, listen, Saul, when you were small in your own eyes, he said, I elevate you to be king. He said, for me, for you to harden is better than to sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Who we obey? God. So I'm just doing a little spiritual examination of who? Do I have pride? I know I can be wrong. I acted wrong. I reacted wrong. Right? And I don't care if I'm whoever and I'm dealing, if I'm dealing for a child and I react wrong, it's still wrong. Amen? If I am who I am, whoever I might be, I'm not using a name or whatever, and I react wrong to a child, I am wrong. If I am a woman and I act ugly with a man because men are all whatever, anything that's right in the sight of God, I am still wrong. If I'm a man and I don't react right to a woman because I got woman issues, I am still wrong. Right? Because it has to be right in the eyes of who? God. So if I just clean up the whole platter, then I'm all right. But if the outside looks good, and you can read about it in Matthew 23 in your own time, and the inside is all messed up, it's no good. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, you know what? If you clean up the outside of the platter and the inside is still messed up, he said, you're like a cemetery. You're like a cemetery, you're full of dead men bones. You know what's happening in a cemetery? Everything is all right, separate, but there's a whole lot of dead, decaying bodies behind what you don't see. That's how God correlates that with us, amen? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. Now, we don't want to just keep talking the word, we want to start living it. It's easy to talk it, but how many of us are willing to succumb to our will and to live it? Amen. Let us live the life we talk about. Can we live the life we sing about? It is so important that we do it in the eyes of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. We're going to read verse 18 through 22, and then we're going to go to Acts chapter 9, a very familiar person that we're all familiar with. That was doing things his way. And God had to stop him in his tracks because he was self-righteous. Amen? 1 John 3, verse 18 reads, my little children, let us not love and Some, wait, don't look this long, no. I got to let you guys start reading. Stop. Oh. Let us not love in word. No, stop talking salvation. It's time to start living salvation. Stop talking about everything that you've done and can't do. It's time to start living. So it says, let us not love in word, but let us love in deed and in truth. Stop talking about it and start actually doing the work. In deed and in what? And in truth. And hereby we know that we are of truth. When you do it right, you're living the truth. If you project something that is not true, no matter how much you talk it and don't live it, it is a lie. Amen. That we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before the people. Before who? Him. If you do it right and you do it according to the truth, then you do it with your heart right before God. If you do it for any other reason and your heart is not right before God, it's not the truth, but it is a lie. For if our hearts condemn us, you know that, let me say this, you know that time when you have, let me use me, I'm going to use me. Because I try to, when I mess up, I try to get it right sometimes. You know, sometimes the homie relax a little bit. And sometimes it's like relax a little bit. No, you got to get it right all the time. Because you know it wasn't right, but you have not yet made it right. So he says, I did not say this, he said, if our if you can't have peace in your own heart, you can't have peace with anybody else. If our hearts condemn us, what? God is greater than our heart. I'm just wondering tonight, have we done some stuff that we have not got right? And it's been bothering us for a long time. And you still have not yet got it right. Then you're not loving in deed and in truth. Your salvation is not based on the truth. You're not walking according to the truth, but you're tongue-in-cheek only. And you try to get it right. So he says that the love of our way holy. God is greater than our heart and what? You say, well, maybe, you know how sometimes we like to try to take the easy way out? Well, maybe I was right. And your heart is going to let you know right away you were wrong. So, man, maybe I was right. Well, maybe I meant it this way. But God knowing, God knows why you did it. Because God is with your spirit. God is with your motives. So, well, I think I can justify that a little bit. God said, you can't justify it because I know why you did. And it was wrong. And nothing you can tell. Yeah, ain't nothing. That's bad, but it ain't nothing. Ain't nothing. That ain't English, right? Well, let me say, ain't nothing. You can do to make it right. That's all messed up. Because God knows. So I'm examining myself. And in me examining myself, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for anyone else. I'm not going to live the lie because God knows. Now let's follow this sequence, okay? Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we. Some people say, well, I just don't know what's going on in my life. know why? Because you have done so much stuff that you haven't got it right. And because you haven't got it right, you don't have confidence with God. Well, why don't you have confidence? Because all that stuff has been bothering you, you haven't got it right. You feel condemned. So you don't have confidence with God. Say, ouch. Ouch. Yeah, anything, right? So if you don't make it right and you're wrong, I don't care who it is. You know, even when I deal with babies, I think that's why all babies like me. Because I treat babies real nice. Yes, that's why Zoe didn't want to stand up tonight. I picked her up. My father said, really? Yes, really, I did. But you know, sometimes we have a tendency to look down on those that we feel are below us. My parents are born. We look down on those that we feel are below us. And we treat them with disrespect because I don't have to respect you. I like what God says. When it comes to God, He sees us all the same. You know, the scripture says, in Christ there's neither male nor female, neither bond free, no, neither barbarian nor Scythian. You know what God says? I don't care what your title is, I see you just like everybody else. So what are you going to do to straighten out some of this stuff that you have not made right? I'm the pastor, so I can just do what I want. You cannot do what you want to do. Because you're supposed to be following Christ. And Christ did not do what He wanted to do. Christ Himself said, I do always the things that please my Father. Alright, so if your heart does not mess with you, you have confidence with God. If your heart, you just a whole stack of stuff. You won't pray and ask God for anything because you don't have any. And then that's what you really don't expect to receive because you don't have confidence. So if we clean up our hearts, then we ask God, we have confidence. He might not do it now, but He will do it eventually. Amen? And whatsoever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments. Can we all read this together? We keep God's commandments and we do those things that are in His sight. I wonder tonight, whose sight are we doing things to please? Amen. You don't have confidence that God's going to do anything for you because you're not doing the things that are pleasing in His sight. It's all about you. And all the ways of man are what? Clean in His own eyes. Every way of man is right in His own eyes. Sometimes it's just good just to read the Bible to see what is right. And to find out we are so wrong. And we think we're right. Now with that being said, let's go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We can be so religious and pious and be so wrong. We can be so religious, so on fire for God, so willing to tell everybody what they ought to do and what they ought not to do. We can be so willing that we'll run other people down and we can still be wrong. Amen? Alright, verse 1 of Acts chapter 9. I gotta stay in course because I have to let y'all out for y'all to go to work on time. So y'all will say we'll tell them off on me because Pastor kept me in church all night. And for those who have to go to school, I'm late because the pastor was long-winded. So I'm keeping messages 30 minutes and short. Plus. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul yet breathing out threats and slaughter against the
Lord.
Don't talk against God's people. Don't think you're so righteous if you're running God's people down. He was doing it against the disciples of the Lord, went unto thee.
love me,
you ever talk to me?
If you love me,
and John says that his commandments are not created. So all that stuff you make hard, God says it's not hard. Just do it. Amen. And desire of him, let us send the masses to the synagogue that he might, that he found, if he found any of his way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound up to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. See, I'm saying, when you mess it up, and God knows your motives are right, God knows how to stop you. The problem is, a lot of us have been in the light, but we still are doing what we want to do. Because God is shining the spotlight of his word into our situation. We saw it wrong, but we just stayed the course. But when God stopped Paul, he stopped him, that's all. Okay? And verse 4 said, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul. You're so religious. And you persecute the very one you're supposed to be saved, serving. Now, you're so religious. But you're persecuting the one you're supposed to be serving. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, Jesus. How many of us have been so determined to do what we want to do and don't realize we've been doing it against Jesus? Like, because of what's in our eyes, because of what's in our heart. And the Lord's been trying to stop us from our past. And listen, you're going the wrong direction. And even when the Lord speaks, you say, well, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. Nah, you ain't Jesus. I'm doing what I want to do. You ever see some people stuff like that? I mean, we all went in the right direction. Some people are so stubborn, they know they're wrong, and I'm just going to keep going. They say, I am Jesus. Now, when the Lord stopped you and said, you're Jesus, did you react like Paul, or did you say, well, nah, he ain't Jesus, he's an apostle, I'm going to keep going. Because it's right in new lives, in our own lives, amen. He said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It's often they get kicked against the prayer. And he repented because he was wrong. Right? He trembled and astonished, said, Lord. Now I want to start right here. In us examining ourselves, has God shown us that we are out of order, that we're not walking right? What did we do when God showed us that we were wrong? Saul was trembling. And even though he had been doing what he wanted to do against the Lord, he acknowledged, you are Lord. So he says unto him, Lord, what? But thou have me. That's when you really surrender. When you don't give God stipulations, you're like, Lord, I'll do this and I won't do that. Or Lord, I was brought up in this way. I know your way more perfect. He just said, you know what? He was shocked at how wrong he was. Any of us have been shocked at how wrong we were and kept doing the wrong thing. Paul was so astonished, he trembled. He was broken. He's like, all this time I was doing what I thought was right and I was wrong. So even in his state that he was in, he said, what would thou have me? How many of us are willing to have a complete surrender like that tonight? Lord, I've been doing what I want to do. But when I see myself in the light of your word, I see that I'm wrong. So I'm going to humble myself and ask, what would thou have me to do? Let's close in Philippians chapter 3. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Now the Lord switches up on me, so I don't know why he switched it up, but if it's applying, apply it. Right? If it doesn't apply, just eat the meat and throw away the bones. Right? If it doesn't apply, eat the meat and throw away the bones. But he did not have me switch for no reason. Because God is not an arbitrary God
He just do things on a whim, but he does it for a reason, because this was not anywhere in my text. Nor was it in my notes. Amen. But let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Amen. And we're going to start off in verse 4. We're going to start in verse 4. This is Paul. When God shows you you're wrong, you have to do something different. You can't be wrong and do the same thing. You can't say, I have these issues and keep doing it the same way. Because that is not repentance. Repentance is I'm going the wrong way. I've acted the wrong way. I'm going to change. And a lot of people say, you repent, you do a 360. Don't go 360. Because if you repent and do a 360, you're going in the same direction. When you repent, you got to do a 180. Right? This is a free geometry class. You can't repent and do a 360. Because when you do a 360, you're going the same. But when you repent, you have to do it in about face. You have to change your direction if you repent. Amen? So Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 4. He said, though I might also have confidence
in the flesh.
Get out the flesh. Look at somebody tell me,
get out the flesh.
I'm not talking about the spirit, this time I don't want to be fleshy. Right? Get out the flesh. You can't please God in the flesh. You were learning on Sunday, right? Cursed be the man that trusts in the flesh. So you gotta get out the flesh. He said, if any man thinketh that he hath well, he might trust in the flesh. Paul said, at what time I did, but he changed. Amen. He said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, he said, I was blameless. He said, but ye doubtless, and I count all things. Did he say I count some things? All things were lost for the what? Excellency of the knowledge of Christ. When you get in Christ like you want to be, the things that were important, you will count those things as they won't matter. Amen. Because your only desire will be to please God. Lost the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss. When you really surrender, you won't hold to none of your ways. It's all about Jesus. It's about all about pleasing Him. Amen. And do count them a dog that I may win Christ. Paul, as great as he was, the great acclaimed made and attained, Paul spoke seven different languages. He said, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, touching the law of blameless. He said, but I counted all of that stuff in the flesh like loss, that I might win Christ, and be found in him not having
righteousness.
When you don't think of yourself right, you got who righteousness? Your own righteousness. Which is of the law, but the righteous, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained, either were made perfect, or either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. To the brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but
it's
so important to move forward. This one thing you got to do. He said, the one thing I do is I what? There's what?
One thing.
All of this stuff that we hold on to from the past, he said, this one thing I do, I have to. Paul said, I got to forget what I was. I got to forget my stature and my claim. He said, I got to forget that. Amen. Forget those things which were behind and reaching forth to the things which were before. He said, I have to what? Press for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, let us therefore as men and be. This word perfect doesn't mean perfect like we think it means. It means to be spiritually mature. But I just say mature. The right word is mature. I'm going to have to let y'all get out. Be and then as we thus find, you gotta be perfect. That means to be spiritually mature. Now it's hard for you to change if you're immature or mature. You cannot change being in you. You can't change such a way if it all stands. I'm trying to change, but I cannot be in me. I can't do it according to my own standards. A lot of us say, but we have rewritten the standards of holiness to fit our standards so we feel all right. It's time for us to do a spiritual self-examination. And in doing that, I have to be clean with myself. I have to be honest with myself. And they all stand and the elders and ministers come forward. All the burdens. It's time for us to do things that are pleasing in the eyes of God. You cannot be wrong and be right. To be right, you have to do it God's way. Amen. It's time for us to change. Tonight, are you where God wants you to be? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you doing what we want to do? Amen.
Can we say hallelujah?